Today's gospel offers us a powerful message on the nature of giving. In the first part, of course, Jesus highlights the actions of the leaders of his day who relished popular esteem and accepted gifts and honors, often at the expense of the community. And by way of contrast, then our Lord offers the example of the widow. She contributed, she gave to the synagogue out of her want. She gave her whole livelihood in order to ensure that others within her community might have something. In the first reading, the widow shared her home with Elijah and telling him that if he wishes, he could share the last meal that she and her son would eat before dying of starvation. These examples of the poor widow should inspire us not simply to highlight the beauty found in giving, but the beauty found in the very poorest among us in giving. And they serve as an important reminder as we enter the Thanksgiving and Christmas seasons in particular. You know, God is like that widow in his care for us. He holds nothing back. He gives us everything that he has and is, including his very self. Jesus sacrificed his very life for the sake of the world. And in the Eucharist, in which we participate, we share, we participate in that blessing, and it provides also an opportunity to offer thanksgiving for this great blessing. You know, our expression of thanksgiving, of gratitude for the gift of the Eucharist, is not limited simply to worship, song, and prayer, all of which are important, of course. You see, because we are formed and we're transformed by the Eucharist, and our vision of the world around us expands accordingly, we see more clearly that God's justice is so needed in our neighborhoods and in our city, in our commonwealth and in our nation. We are called to care for the oppressed. We're called to protect those who are new to our land. And we are led to serve those who are lonely and grieving and hurting and in need of comfort. You see, those are the elements which is meant by church. Yes, we are grateful for the gifts that God has given us, but when we share the good news of salvation with others through the giving of our time and our talent and our treasure so that no one is left uncared for, then we're truly living the spirit of the gospel. We all know it's a tall order. We, for example, in and through the parish's social outreach ministry, we try to meet the needs of as many of our neighbors as we can. And we try to do that, however imperfectly, in a way that's transparent and without argument and without gossip and without judgment. You see, we are not able, as we know, to solve all the world's problems, but we are called to recall our values and to develop a point of view which allows us to act locally. And that provides a basis, a sacred and holy reason for contributing to our Thanksgiving baskets to feeding the homeless through our monthly Sandwich Sunday program. It's for this reason that we each week collect food and personal hygiene items in the gathering space, and we develop letters of thanksgiving to our troops, complimented by a little candy. And it is for this reason that we also come to Mass, to receive the sustenance that only community and the Eucharist can provide us as we endeavor to live a life of true discipleship. Jesus' critique of the leaders of the day in the first part of the gospel is also a call for us to be aware of the pretentious status seekers, as well as the advertisements which tell us that this product or that will make us important and lovable and enviable, and will even grow hair. The readings invite us to evaluate our own pattern of giving, not out of some existential feeling of guilt, but rather to prioritize giving within our lives. Share a story. There was a rich man who was quite distressed over the prospect of not being able to take all of his riches with him when he died. So before he died, he loaded his briefcase with 2 gold bars from his private vault, and he left instructions to have the case locked with the key handcuffed to his wrist and the key placed in his burial clothes. And his family carried out his orders perfectly. Yes, they did, to the letter. And when this man appeared at the pearly gates, he had the briefcase with him, keys in hand. And St. Peter asked, "What do you have in the suitcase?" And very proudly, the man unlocked the case and opened it and displayed the 2 gold bars. And St. Peter said, "Isn't that special? You brought pavement." Think about it. You see, all we own is really God's anyway, right? He created the air that we breathe, the sun that warms the earth, the plants and animals for food. He's the one that gave us our brains to think, and he placed and gave us differing gifts and skills and gave us each unique personalities. The Psalms tell us that the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. We are, and this is a truism that we forget, we are born with nothing. And I hate to tell you, we take nothing with us when we leave, not even gold bars. It all gets passed on to someone else. The amazing thing about that is that here we have an opportunity in this life to store up for ourselves treasures in heaven. And we do that by giving some of those items that we temporarily possess to others. And decisions that we make about money — no one likes to talk about money — the decisions we make about money reflect who we serve. And at our most stingy and greedy moments, it can be painfully evident who we serve. However, when we think of ourselves as stewards, as merely temporary owners of things, we are far more likely to use what we have been given wisely. And that's what God calls us to do, to give wisely and generously out of our heart, like the widow out of our want, in a way that honors him. Amen.